And we thought that we could tie that in to the Rashi about the very, very strange Rashi who, when interpreting the Brice of Amr Lo Aviv, he tame, as opposed to all the other Rishonim says, he tame to give me something that I need, to get me something, to mechabed me. Rashi says, he tame le hashiv aveda. And the Arch Laner is a long deal exactly why does Rashi have to add the word l'hashiv aveda, and you could speculate many possibilities, but the Ritva assumes that Rashi said l'hashiv aveda to tell us that even though it's not something for the father's benefit, that's still a case of kibud avim versus tumas kohanim, and the principle that kibud avim is nadocha tumas kohanim, meaning that Rashi is hinting to us here that kibud avim applies even if you're doing something not for your father's benefit. L'chora, the svar is that listening to your father, obeying your father's request, is also kibud avim, even if it's not machilo u mashkevu malbisho manilo, etc. So we have a fundamental machlokes, two places in our Gemara, about the status of just stam listening, you know, to your father, right? Listening to your avaim. So, number one, in the case of Amar lo aviv hitama, Rashi says, right, at least according to the Ritva's Perush, even not lahanaso, it's still kibud avim, and that's the case where it's not dochot tumas kohanim. But lo yitzur, it wasn't a cemetery. The father just told you go return this lost object, and that would be kibud avim. And the Ritva jumps on him. The language of Rishonim here is very, very clear. The Ritva jumps on Rashi. And says, "Pirush Rashi she'amr lo kein levatala v'lo l'shum tzorech ve'eino nachum dim kein lama yishlo filu dvarim shemashos." Right? Then you don't listen to your father even for nana averos. V'galshin lasad aver l'tchus mitzvah she'ein asay de kavod elva osa davar la'naso. Very clear. Kavod is only providing your father with physical benefit. K'damar hasam kibrav machilu mashkeh malbisho manilo. Okay, l'chein. Pirshu, he quotes here Rabbi Tam in the Ri, Sha'amru, Sha'amru lo, Hitame, Lechvodi, Levashali, Makom Tong, Shi'ef, Shazulas, Kain, Shalom, Atachshir, Aveda, Zuo, Ela, Vashali, Yoshkodli. Right, so the Ritva is quoting here Rabbi Tam in the Ri. I'm not sure where this Rabbi Tam in the Ri are. It's always hard to tell whether the right verse is Rabbi Tam or Rach. But in any case, the Ritva, and then the Ritva, in the name of Rabbi Tam, and the Ri says, only the mitzvah is only lehanaso, and that's the exact same machlokas lishitase you have. Again, the Rashi's are all based on diukim, but it's a pattern. At the end of the sugya, you have shem mitzvah, right? Right? Rashi might say that all obeying requests is the mitzvah atzma, while the Ramban and Rashba and the Ritva are very clear that the Ramban and the Rashba and the Ritva are very clear that no, see, Mechamer is only a Hechsher mitzvah even though he told you to do it, right? Even though, now for the Gemara itself, you might have said he didn't tell you to be Mechaber. You just, on your own, realize you have to be Mechaber. But the Ramban and the Rashi and Ritva are very clear that he told you to be Mechaber, and they still think it's only a Hechsher mitzvah. Why? It's a Hechsher mitzvah of giving him dinner. But the fact that you're doing what he told you to is not a mitzvah at all. That's what the Rishonim say pretty clearly. That's the Ritva is the is the least clear. It says Kshaamar lechamar b'Shabbos, right? And it's still a hechsher mitzvah, even though your father told him to be mechamar on Shabbos. The Ramban and Rashi are even clearer. They say explicitly, even though your father told you, don't have a havmina. Don't think it's a mitzvah to do what your father told you, and that would make it a mitzvah in and of itself. No, it's only a mitzvah to give him food, and therefore the mechamar is only a hechsher mitzvah. Some of the achronim are medayik from the Meiri here, like Rashi. Because the Meiri here, it is a diuk, but the Meiri says, The Meiri goes through all these sugyos twice, once to explain the Shaklataria, and then again to explain the Halacha L'maisa. So it's a little hard to find things. But, the Meiri says here, says, what's the case of a Shavas Aveda? Afagam the Ike Hechsher Mitzvah Tzorech Lo'aviv Bekach. That the case of a Shavas Aveda is like Rashi, is like the Ritva, that it's Tzorech Aviv. But he says, why? What could he have said? Like the Ritva. Even the case of Aveda is Lutzorech Aviv. Because if it wasn't Lutzorech, it wouldn't be Kivet Av in the first place. That's not what the Meiri says. Shem ein kan etzel shem tzorech alavur l'chud kamachavin lo itzrich krada rasha hu v'ikri kan nos v'amcha ba'osa ma'isa amcha. What does the Meiri say? Rashi says it's even not la'naso. The Ritva says it's only la'naso. The Meiri also says it's only la'naso. But you can be a dayik. The Meiri says it's a case of the case is la'naso because otherwise he would be a Rasha. What did the Meiri say? Again, Rashi implies that the father told you to go to the cemetery is telling you stam. And it's still Kibbutz Avim. It's just not talking about the Ritva says, no, stam wouldn't be Kibbutz Avim. He's telling you to go get him food. The Meiri says, no, he's obviously telling you to get him food, not stam. But he doesn't say because stam is not Kibbutz Avim. He says, because if he told you to go to a cemetery stam, then he would be a Rasha. What kind of Rasha wants his son to stam do an Aveira? Right, if I want you to never get me something, then I'm not a Rasha. Right, that's, I want something, and I made a cheshbon, and I think it's worth it for you to help me out. But if I want you to go to the cemetery stam, then I'm a momer lahachis. Then I'm anti-religious. And if the father is anti-religious, according to everyone, except for all the Rishonim, except for the Rambam, then there's no kibbutz of ein b'chlal. Therefore, there'd be no kibbutz of aim. But the Achronim make a diuk, since the only reason the Meiri says there's no kibbutz of aim, he tells you stam is because he's a Rasha, he's anti-religious, therefore the diuk is, but if he told you something stam that was not rishus, then it would be kibbutz of aim. So they make the diuk from the Meiri that really he agrees with Rashi, even though he's a different attempt of that case. He says for Hanaso, since the only reason he does want to say that Rashi is because that would make you a Rasha. Apparently his machlokes with Rashi is whether deeper can make someone a Rasha. Well, yeah, I'm clear about this. He just thinks that he doesn't want to say it's like the Okimta like Rashi, because that would make you a Rasha. But if not for Rishos, he would have no problem with Rashi's Okimta. The diuk is that he thinks that Stam listening to your father is Kibbutz Av. It's a diuk.
He's telling you a little mitzvah.
What?
It's not just Stam, Rashi's case. Even if it's not enough for himself, he's telling you, go do Hashem's
Aveda. Ah, okay, so it could be he didn't have a Havamina. That is an interesting point. But I guess he would still consider that Rishos, because it's an interesting question. What if I tell you to do a mitzvah that you shouldn't be doing now because it's an Aveira? Does that make me a Rasha? I don't know. It's a good point. But the Meiri doesn't seem to be bothered by it. He seems to think you're a Rasha even if you just make improper judgment calls and values. All right, that's an interesting tzarechia.
But for the Meiri, if it's for his toilet, then it's not.
Then he's not a Rasha. And then you would have a havmina to listen to him, and you need to learn that it's not docha.
According to Meiri, it's better to tell him to go get you something to drink than to do a mitzvah.
That's what it sounds like. He does. Oh, one second. Hold on a second. No. No, actually, I'm not sure. One second. Truth is, I don't know. The Meiri doesn't. I tell you that. The Meiri doesn't relate to sort of Rashi's case of Aveda. He just says either it's for no reason or for my reason. He doesn't really bring up the issue of what if it's for, you know, a reason of a third party like Hashem's Aveda. So I'm not sure what the Meiri would say. It could be the Meiri would say that, okay, I take back my formulation. It could be that Meiri might agree that in Rashi's case they're also not a Rasha. It could be that Meiri might agree that in Rashi's case they're also not a Rasha. He's just saying if he tells you to do it for no reason, then he's a Rasha. But he might admit that if it's for Aveda, then you're also not a Rasha because low gara from bringing him a Budweiser. I agree.
But you don't kill a Rasha the first time.
So that is, well, the Meiri thinks you do. That's a big machlok we've shown him in Chulin. It's a big machlok we've shown him in Chulin. It's also in Siman Aleph of Yoredea. You know, when do you become a Rasha? And there's many Rishonim will hold you do become a Rasha the first time. So the Meiri is one of them. Again, Thea, we're not going to get into this. Maybe you can mechalik in Lahachis and Latayavon. Because Lahachis, because the Gloy most of your Munus Vadeos might be the first time, while regular Averis might not, but that's already a tangent. Okay, this is a fundamental Machlokes Rishonim. In terms of the other Rishonim in Poskim, they make Diyukim. All the people you find on Rashi's side are all Diyukim. It's interesting. You have very few places in the Rishonim. I mean, the Akronim, obviously, there's some more Akronim in the Rishonim that people that you can find explicit statements about everything. In the Rishonim, you have very few Rishonim who say explicitly, listen to your parents in the mitzvah, keep it up at aim, even if it's not for their benefit. But there are Diyukim in many Rishonim like that, such as, for example, I think I gave out in the back of the Makoro sheet, somewhere here. Yeah. The Beis Yosef, quoting my Rami Rutenberg, right, that says, mitzvah, okay, fine, mitzvah to fast on a yard site, only real litvaks do that nowadays, mitzvah to say Kaddish, right? So it's a mitzvah to say Kaddish for someone's mother, even if their father's alive. That's Ma'isim Chol Yom. Bim Aviv Makbid. Now this is not our, the normal accepted halacha Ma'isim is not this way, is that even if father's Makbid, still say Kaddish for your mother. But he said, what if your father's Makbid? Your father says, I don't want you to say Kaddish for your mother. I'm not sure exactly why, but for whatever reason.
He's still alive. So
right, either he hates your mother, or maybe he's still alive and he doesn't want people to think he's dead. Now, again, I'm not sure why people jump to that conclusion. I mean, everyone has two parents, so the odds are 50-50. I ain't horror or something, you know. So in any case, what if your father says not to? So then, even if your mother gave you a tzava to do it, keep it up, kodem, keep it a aim. What does he say? He says that, you know, he's not talking about the theoretical issue, but in the specific case, he says, if there's kivud av, say kaddish for your mother, and kivud av that your father minds, then your father beats out your mother. Now, of course, he's not asking you to do anything for his physical benefit. There's no machil umashke, there's no manil umalbish, machnes umotzi. He just doesn't want you to do something. So it sounds from here like just what your father says counts as kivud av, even to the extent of overriding kibud aim. Now, you can get out of that, but it sounds like, right, you can add to Rashi and the, here we have Rashi, here we have the Meiri, and here we have the Ritva, the Ramban, and the Rashva. You can add the Maharam in the Beis Yosef, who says, you know, the case of Aviv Makbid, not to say Kaddish for your mother. L'chor, it doesn't benefit him at all for you not to say Kaddish. He's not telling you. He's not saying, don't go to shul and say Kaddish for your mother because you need to stay and help me get around the house. That would be Kibbutz Ein L'Kuli Alma. He's saying, don't say Kaddish for your mother because I don't want you to. So that, because you should listen to me because I'm the boss. So that sounds like the Akronim Dayak from there that he holds listening to your father is Kibbutz Av. Another similar example of a Diyuk is the Shud HaRash. This is apparently a very common case in the old days. Probably still common nowadays. Al Ha'av Shetzivah Levnot Shalei Dabra Mihudi Yehudi Yeah?
What about when the son is doing something to be pogi in the father's kavod? Meaning, is the father allowed to tell, to say, you can't do something that's pogi in my kavod?
Aha, so that might already be Mora, because Mora includes not to contradict him, and not to sit in his chair, etc. So if you mamish embarrass your father, so everyone might agree, even if that's not kavod, that's Mora. To embarrass your father, like mamish, to, you know, get up and, I mean, again, saying Kaddish for your mother is not embarrassing your father, right? Meaning, the Maharam himself said, every other person in your shul says Kaddish for their mother when their father's alive. That was a previous statement.
The father feels that he,
right, so that's an interesting question. Maybe you can make the Okimta here that he wasn't saying, I was covered of listening, he was saying, because it's embarrassing him, and embarrassing him is like an objective disrespect. Somehow, this is a unique situation where, even though everyone else would do this when you do it, you could, it would be a funny okimta. Because if he hadn't said the previous line that the minhag ha'olam is to say kaddish for the mother when the father's alive, then you could say, oh, well, maybe you're making it look like he's dead. That's disrespecting. That's worse than contradicting him. Here it's funny, because he just said that every other person says kaddish to their mother when their father's alive, so it doesn't seem to be, you know, contradicting him or sitting in his chair if you do what everyone else does in that situation. But he could say, maybe in this unique circumstance, you know, this is not just because of listening to him, this is somehow very embarrassing to him. But it would be a weird okimta.
For it to be mora, does it have to be that it's really embarrassing, or just even if you contradict him a little bit?
Aha, hold that thought. Okay, let's look at the Shudrash. Says the Shudrash, Avo Avtsa Tzivulv no, Shlo Yidabrim Yehudi Echad, Lo Yimchol Masha Asa, Tman Katsub. Right, the father says, this often happens, right? The kids are more idealistic than the parents. Right, this is, right, the parents say, ah, what are you talking about? We hate those, we never got along with them. Mikad Masana, Midori Doros. You know, we have to hate them, that's our Masorah. The kids are like, why can't we all live in peace? So the father's been sabe his son. He says, "Keep it up. You're not allowed to talk to that guy. You're mochel him. You have to fight with that guy." The ben chavs the spicy mol shechosh the savas aviv. Then he says, "Sheasher lishno shem yehudim lo shireu over avira va'ashdi lishno lav kol kamil savos lavur the torah shneimar ni hashem or reimav nurachin." He says, of course you shouldn't listen to your father to fight with someone else in town. He says, A, because of what we learned, right? And the Hashem, that your kibbutzim is not docha veros, and losisna sachicha veira. And two, because your father's a Rasha. And you don't have to listen to him when he tells you something as a Rasha. Okay, but what's the diuk from the Shudder Rush? If it hadn't been an aveira, then you would listen to him about what relation you should have with some other person. Like, let's say he had told you, better example, let's say he had told you not to talk to a guy. Doesn't say any place, losista eskala adam, right? So let's say he had told you, I don't know, just not to talk to someone who you never met. You were planning to go to a new town to meet people. And he says, no, don't go to that town and meet those people. That's not any aveira, right? You don't have to meet everyone in the whole world. You want to go to Minsk and meet people from Minsk? And he tells you, no, go to Pinsk. You absolutely should not go meet people from Minsk. So the diuk is that then you would have to listen to him because that's not an aveira. So the diuk of the Rush is... The diuk of the Shud HaRush is also when you have the case of Tziva Lo. Lisno, that is not like the Meiri. Because it's an aveira, there's no mitzvah of kibbut here. But if it wouldn't be an aveira, because of the rishos, there's no kibbut, it wouldn't be aveira. It sounds like it wouldn't be kibbut. However, against that, on the side of the mainstream you've shown him here, is the very, very famous Shut Ma'arich. These are all obscure sources that, you know, you only know nowadays because we have footnotes and computers and encyclopedias, etc. In the old days, only people who were computers and encyclopedias knew. But the Maharik, everyone knows the Shut Maharik because it's a very famous, relevant case that speaks to everyone at some point in their life and is a Mefurish Sif in Shulchan Aruch. I think it's the last line of Simon Reish Mem, of Kibbut Av Va'im in the Shulchan Aruch. Famous Maharik, Asher Nistapakta Mishkoch B'yada Av Ad Hayom Hazeh. Nothing has changed since the days of the Maharik, and I'm sure well before then. The son wants to marry a certain girl, and the father says, nope, I don't like that girl. Ad hayom hazeh maisim chol yom. And everyone has the exact same shayla as the Maharik had, and to the best of my knowledge, people get the same answer that the Maharik gives. Although, you know, it's always a little more complicated. Generally, the minhag of Rabbanim, of smart Rabbanim nowadays, to say you want to marry someone and your parents say no, say halachically you don't have to listen to your parents and not marry the right girl, but maybe your parents have a good reason, so you should really, you know, think hard and investigate and be mitziyaitz with other people, you know, just in case maybe Taki, your parents are giving you good advice and you're being foolish. That's the minute of the Rabbanim when they answer the shayla. Because you never know, sometimes parents really are smart. Right, what did Mark Twain say? Right? It says, when I left home at 18, I knew with certainty that my parents were the most ignorant, stupid, backwards, foolish people I ever met. I traveled, came home 4 years later, 22, and was amazed at how wise and judicious they'd become in my absence. So I guess it might also depend when you're looking for a shidduch. So, the So what is he saying? Right? He says famously, the father can't tell you whom not to marry. Or he also can't tell you who to marry. But he even can't tell you whom not to marry. He says, look, there's a million other girls. Just don't marry this one. You still don't have to listen. And he gives three reasons. Right? What are his three reasons? What are the Myrick's three reasons? So, okay, what does he say? Reason one is, that feeling your mom over the rabbanon or hearing from the Michel Av, the king possible post your luxury easy. Koshkin Hachshu, Dabra Shay, but Sarah de Gufa, La Niach, Isha Shachop, it's Bobby, Sarah Kachshu, Isha Kersel, Yashu, Ain of Kolkach. Number one, he says, because there's a machlokas. Do you have to pay for the food you cook your father, or does he have to pay? You definitely have to put in the time. You can't charge him by the hour. But who has to pay, whose credit card do you take to the supermarket when he wants food? So we pass in your father's credit card. You don't have to spend your own money. So you don't have to spend your own money. I mean, you can spend your own money and get reimbursed. But over here, you're spending your whole life's happiness. It's more than money, and it can't be reimbursed. So he says, obviously, you don't have to sacrifice your whole life's happiness and marry the wrong girl for your father because he has no, you know, the, he has to pay the cheshbon. And this is too much of a cheshbon for you to pay. Okay? Answer two. Reason two. V'od de karva dar v'en liyos ki mitzav alav hol devei Torah. Second reason is, this is an Aveira. This is like Itameh and Bashali Shkotli B'Shabbos and Al-Tachzer Aveda. It's an Aveda because Chazal say you're not allowed to marry a girl until you see her and decide you like her. And even though Tosa comes up with Kula's B'Zanazeh, but B'Ikaron, it's a mitzvah. It's also to marry a girl you don't like. You have to marry a girl you do like. And therefore he says, your father's telling you to do an Aveira because you're not going to like the other girl because you're still going to remember this girl. And you don't have to listen to do an Aveira. Okay, number three. The Od, the Ad Kan Lomithu Yom Shalom Shal Bein Aldor Shayecha Ab Begava Parnas Ab. The whole machlok is whether you have to pay or he has to pay. The whole Inyan of Kibbutz Ab in the first place, that discussion was only for things that are for Parnasas Ab, that the Ab Shayech to. There was never a question of, if your father tells you to go to the movies, do you have to pay for the ticket or does he? No, if your father wants to go to the movies, the question is who has to pay for the cab. But no one ever said the father can even have a havdina to ask for things that are not part of his parnasa, right? Shetzorcha gufa av kiyumo. Kibbutz Abayin is only things that are the needs of the gufa av for him to be miskayim. Abo milsa lo shayach begavei kiyachav shitid en kochel av limchos v'ven. But in some of the av has nothing to do with, right? He's not marrying someone. He's not asking you to find him a wife. It's your wife. So pasha that the father has no power. Lo mishum kavod, lo mishum mora. It's not kavod, it's not mora. Lo shayach kavod el gomachil mashkeim al bishum al ilo. Covet is only to provide his needs. It's not his need who his daughter-in-law is. Mora, lo yeshem kom lo sosavar, not to contradict him or sit in his chair. That has nothing to do with who you marry. Chin kayotz v'zeh d'shayach la'av. Only things that are for him. Av mos lo shayach avagav, pshit ein kof yad al mumchot v'yav. It's posh, there's no kibbutz av. This is the famous Maharik, more famous than the Rishonim here. Maharik says, there are three reasons you don't listen to your father in Shiduchim, and two of them are not interesting enough for us now. Number one, it's too heavy of a price to have to pay. And number two, it's an aveira. But number three, because it's not kavod or mora in the first place, because it's not mora and it's not kavod. And since when is listening to your parents a mitzvah? Again, don't tell this to all my little kids. But it never says in the Torah you have to listen to your parents. It says you have to be mechabed your parents. We know what kibud means. Right now, they say they're giving kibud. Doesn't mean that they're going to take orders from you. It means they're snacks. That's what kibud means. Ruy l'skavgav nei orchem. Say, you have to mechabe your father, you have to give him snacks and whatever else he needs. And, you know, when he gets old, you have to help him walk to the grocery and help him put his tefillin on and take his tefillin off and, cook him dinner and all these other things. But it doesn't, take out the garbage, you know, but it doesn't mean that you have to listen to him in your private life.
Just because there's no mitzvah to listen to your father, like you would. Can it be like the tremendous anguish you're going to cause him?
Okay. So hold all this thought. Just let me mention one or two other makoros. The Ramah quotes this Maharik. Halacha Lamaisa. The Ramah quotes, well, we'll get back to Halacha Lamaisa. But the Ramah quotes this Marik, and the Gra and the Ramah quotes the Marik. He doesn't quote all three reasons, but in the Darkei Moshe, he brings down all three reasons. The Gra quotes all three reasons. Sounds like the Marik, the Ramah, and the Gra, who quote all three reasons of the Marik, sounds like they're endorsing all three reasons. Again, the Ramah on the Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote any reasons. He just quotes the Din. The Darkei Moshe quotes all three reasons. So Luchar, it sounds like they endorse this and pass like the Marik. Okay, now is the obvious question. What is the svara of Rashi and the Meiri? Right? Meaning, it's not what they call Kavod in Maseches Kedushin. It's not what they call Mor in Maseches Kedushin. It doesn't really matter. You know, I hate to say this on the internet, but it doesn't really matter what they taught you in kindergarten that the Ten Commandments means. It matters what it says in the Gemara. And in the Gemara, it says what Kavod is and it says what Mor is, and this isn't either of them. So, what's the svara of Rashi? I understand the svara of the Ritva. What's the svara of Rashi? So we have machlokas here between Gutenberg and Erger, right? Matan, what do you think the svara for Rashi is? Ah, it's not kavod, it's not mora. So what are you going to say?
Yeah, I thought it might be mora. Because
so what do you mean it's not mora? It is mora, because what is this? In Lashon Chazal, what is this? This is an example of, it's a hei tensi of, Soser Stavara. This is Soser Stavara. This is the shita of the famous shita of the Sefer HaMakna on Kiddushin. The Sefer HaMakna on Kiddushin says, I have it right here, Tana Rabban Ezel Mora V'chuli Lo Soser Stavarev, and he actually is v'dayik it back into our sugya. Lo Soser Stavarev, Nere says, D'chol Dovashim Tzavalo Aviv, Akhtor Shem Lov Shuma Nami Menu, exactly against the Ritva, the Marik, etc. Anything your father tells you to do, even if it's not for his benefit, kibud. It's not kibud. Tak, it's not kibud. Kibud means kibud kal, or more than kibud kal. It doesn't mean listening to people. Afil achim ein leben shum hefsid mimenu. If it's not going to cost a big hefsid, like Marik's case, and as he admits, you don't have to give up your life's happiness and do averos. But if it would be an innocent thing, zebachlal lo rushim lo yishma lo havik is soser svara. If he tells you to do something and you don't, that's soser svara. So one svara is the sefer hamakne. And Matan, that it is Bechlal, it's not Kibud Avim. It's Bechlal Mora, because it's Kesoser, it's Devara. What's the difference between, he says, you need to buy shoes, go to the mall. And you say, no, it's stupid to go to the mall. No, only idiots buy shoes in the mall. So that's Soser's Devara. So what's the difference between that and just implying that by not going to the mall? So then, if you don't go to the mall, you're implying that he's wrong and that you know better than him, and that's Soser Stavarov. Right? Okay. So, and he says, the way he understands the Shulchan Aruch is, only if it's about something like Yisuin, which is the wrong thing, he's telling you to do a ridiculous thing, then you have to listen. But if he tells you to do an innocent thing, then you do have to listen. Okay, then he brings a riot from there, but he brings an interesting diok from our sugya. What's his diok from our sugya? Our sugya, he brings an interesting diok from Yevamos to support Matan. What's the pasuk in our sugya? It says Mora. It doesn't say Kibud. And what's the example of Mora? The Amrli, Shotli, Bashali. Right? My love, the Omar le shchotli bashali. So he asked two questions. The Sefer Machne. A, what is mora? This is kibud. Why the pasuk says mora? Why are we bringing in kibud of food? Food is kibud. Why are they bringing food if the pasuk says mora? And B, why did that say Omar le shchotli bashali? Why do you need Omar le? What about shchito bishol? What's wrong with my love shchito bishol? So he answered the question. The other says, ah. The reason why the Gemara says Amar Leishchot Libashali, I mean the Rav already discussed that, but he says the reason why the Gemara says Amar Leishchot Libashali is exactly because it says Tiro. The Gemara had the following question. Again, all the other before would just say Mor Kibud Lav Dav. It's all the same. But the Magna is a Gevaldik Adiyuk from our sugya. The Gemara had the question Ishimo Vitiro Shasav Shmoru. You should have Mora, but you should still not be Mechal Shabbos. Gemara asked themselves, hold on a second, Mora means not to contradict him and sit in his chair. What did that have to do with Shabbos? How could there ever be a steer routine Mora and Shabbos? Mora just means don't do disrespectful things. You never have to be Mechal Shabbos to keep Mora. It's Kibud that requires Kol Shabbos. not Mora. The Gemara says that. It must be that he doesn't just want food. He told you to shecht. And once he tells you to shecht, I mean, if he had said, can you bring me food, that would be kiva. But if he says, go shecht and bring me food, now it's kiva, but it's also Mora. Because if you don't listen, then that's Soser's Devara. So the Gemara added Amarli in order that he could tempt of Mora that would involve Malach on Shabbos. The only way to make a tempt of Mora that involves Malach on Shabbos is if he commands you to do something, because if you don't listen, that's Soser's Devara. He has the same diuk. Again, it's based on the diuk that Sukkim of Mora and Kibud are only talking about Mora, Kibud's only Kibud. The Gemara Darshan, how do we know a married woman? How do we know a married woman doesn't have to be Kibud of Aim? Right? What? A good guess, but the Gemara says, Ishimo Vivitiro, why Ish? Because an Isha can't, because she has to take care of her husband. Right? The, you know, push comes to shove, and the wife doesn't know what to do. Right, so usually, like most things in halacha, in Ksubas and other places when it talks about like family, usually people like work it out and figure out a plan. But let's say you can't work it out, figure out a plan. She has to choose. She either has to take care of her family who live in Australia, or she has to go to Mexico and take care of her father. And there's just like, it's no way of negotiating between them, and you know, there's only one way ticket and she can never make it back. And, you know, what should she do? So, Ishimo Vivtiro, the Ish has to take care of his parents, but the Isha has to, can't take care of his parents because Rishos Ba'ala Aleha. So, he asks the same question, he makes the same deal. I mean, Ishimo Vivtiro, we're talking on Mora. What does Mora have to do with a married woman having divided loyalties? Mora means not to sit in his chair. So the fact she has a husband and kids, what does that do? That prevents her from not sitting in her father's chair? Adrab, if her husband and kids move her to Australia, so she'll be great at Mora, because she'll never contradict her father, she'll never see him, and she'll never sit in his chair, she'll be in a different continent, and she'll never stand in his at his podium, at his lectern, etc., etc. So he says, it must be that, no, Mora also means doing things. How does Mora mean doing things? Must be that if he tells you to do something now, it turns into Mora, because if you don't listen, it's Soser's Devara. That's the famous diuk of the Sefer Makta, and it's actually a very cute diuk. More than cute, a very clever diuk. In our sugya, why they have Amarli Shulti Bashali, in order to get the bridge between Mora and Malach on Shabbos, that the only time you actively have to do something for Mora, usually Mora is passive. The only time Mora becomes active and can involve Chil Shabbos is if your father told you. That's the Sefer Makna and Matan Erder. That's one pshat. But Daniel Gutenberg wanted to take another pshat. He wanted to take Rabbi Kiva Eger's pshat. Two is Rabbi Kiva Eger and Daniel Gutenberg. You want to say it's Kibud or Mora?
No, it's back to one.
Sorry.
If your father tells you to do something, and you don't listen to him, like you're over on Mora, but is listening to him, you're like Mekayim Mora?
I think so. Yes. Otherwise, it would work.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what would Gutenberg want to give a different shot in Rashi? What was Gutenberg's shot? You want to say it was Mora or Kibud? You want to say it was?
Kibud.
Kibud, not Mora. How can it be Kibud? You're not supplying his needs and making him comfortable. It's not an issue of his hana'a, so the answer is?
It is.
It is an issue of his hana'a. Anyone? There's almost some of us here are old enough to have kids who this really applies to. When your kid is two, it's different. Like, you just tell him to do things so he won't kill himself. But, you know, when your kids are older, you tell your kid to do something, and if they listen, you feel good. It makes you feel comfortable. It makes you feel happy. It makes you feel better. Right? Maybe someone listening on the internet is a Jewish mother. Every Jewish mother says to her husband, to her son, you know, don't stay out late and don't go in the car with that friend, etc. Why? Because if you listen to her, she'll feel good that she's kept you safe and that you're on the right path, etc. And if you don't listen to her, as soon as you get into a car with that friend and she hears you sped off, she's going to be up all night worrying that Avada Pasha, that you're in an accident and in an ambulance someplace, etc. because you didn't listen to her. That's what happens. You feel bad if your kid doesn't listen to you. It causes you psychological tsar if your kid doesn't listen. And it causes you psychological pleasure if your kid does listen to you, pashut. You know, I tell my kid, whatever I think, I'm so smart, I know you have to go to the mall to buy shoes. So if I tell my kid to go to the mall, he goes to the mall, I feel good. That here, you know, I taught him some things, and I shared my wisdom with him, and he's following my path. And if he doesn't go to the mall, then I feel bad that, you know, my kid doesn't think I'm the smartest shopper in the world, and he thinks that he doesn't have to take advice from me, and now he's old, he doesn't need me anymore, and you feel bad. So it's psychological. You're right, it's not physical machil malbish, it's not physical hanah, but it is hanah, it's psychological hanah. So maybe theoretically, who knows, if you were going off on a rocket ship, one-way rocket ship to colonize the moon, and your father told you something, and you didn't listen, and he never found out, so maybe that would be different. But in 99.9% of cases, your father's going to find out whether you listen or not. Usually, he's standing there watching you. So therefore, it'll be tsar ha-nefesh if you don't listen, and it'll be nachas ruach if you do listen. And that's also covered to make someone feel good, not only to give them food. It's also covered to make someone feel good emotionally. That's what Rekiva Eger assumes. Of course, then he has an interesting nafgamina. He says, Me'atalin kim tzavas avi yishlomar, d'guf inin ashmos kolov v'imo, hukon nachas ruach, shizel nachas ruach, lem shaykurim yishol v'tzonom, v'hipach tzar lohem. So Rabbi Kivya Eger says that because it's kibud. Why? Because obeying is nachas ruach, and disobeying is tsar, and it's the same as feeding them or letting them go hungry. Therefore, he has an interesting nafkamina. He says, according to the Makim, maybe if your parents left the tzava and passed on to the next world, it would still be more to not listen to the tzava, because you bring souls to them. But in order to keep the anger, in the next world, they don't care anymore. So maybe you wouldn't have to listen to the tzava, because they're not going to get nachas ruach if you listen to them in the next world. In the next world, they only get nachas ruach from, you know, being in Gan Eden, because there's a chuyos. So he says it could be an afgamina between him and the machne is acharmisa. Acharmisa, they're not going to be upset if you don't listen anymore, because, you know, where they are, they don't worry about these petty things anymore. But it's still going to be disrespectful to not listen. So that could be a... Rabbi Kivya Eger suggested that it's an afgamina. Even though Hashmos of the Shulchan Aruch is maybe it is, but he's not... Then he says at the end, Eshadubcha Mora. He says maybe it's Kibbutz, or maybe it's Mora. He says maybe just Kibbutz to listen to them, that's a little weak. Maybe he says Mora and comes back to the Machna. So he suggests this might be an afgamina. The nafgamina might be that if it's Mitamora, that's even Achar Misa. But if it's Mitam Kibud, then maybe it's only B'chayav, because he's not going to be upset after he passes away. Yeah.
So it's just, is Dvarav only if he knows about it?
No, L'chor not.
So he doesn't know about it.
Yeah, L'chor even doesn't know about it. And then, my father comes and he says something and then he goes to the bathroom. When he goes to the bathroom, I tell him on the sample, he was totally wrong. That's also this is the rice of Mora, even though my father, even if he never finds out. Even if he never finds out, he didn't go to the bathroom, he took a one-way trip to the moon. It's still disrespectful to be so to Dvarav, no?
Probably a big deal if you know something these two. They're not going to know about it.
If they don't know about it, correct. This is just based, this really is the tendency of like not knowing about it. But it's the funny thing is, it's hard to find a case of not knowing about it. Because they, you know, usually people know things, right? Al-Tomer Darvashi Epshul Lishama Shesofa Lishamea. One of the Pshatim is, you know, everyone finds out about everything in the end.
Two things. First of all, isn't some elements of Avelos or Kaddish Kibbutz thing?
So that is very, very fascinating. Some elements of Avelos or Kaddish are Kibbutz of Aim. That's sort of what he hints at the end here. Why is Kaddish Kibbutz of Aim? So it may be that, first of all, it may be, at least for Kaddish, that it does give Hana, because it, you know, it brings them out again, and that's better than buying an air conditioner. But in general, that's, you know, that's by Kaddish, you know, that Taka is Hana Sagof. But...
So in Kor, you're saying that you can give them an Achas Ruach when they're in a different world. So
no, but maybe only Zechuyos can do that. But I hear the Taka. How about Kibbutz of Avelos, right? The post can generally assume that Avelos, Yud Beis Kodesh, Vitam, Kibbutz of Aim. So where does Avelos fit in, right? Kor is Mora. It's not so serious the Dvarav to not be Mizabel. And it's not giving them any Nachas Ruach, right? What is it? It's just like showing that you respect them. You're timing. So if so, then that seems to be, you know, if you assume that, then maybe you're saying, no, anything that like shows respect is kavod. Anything that shows respect is kavod, even if it doesn't lead to any tsar or, and that's where Yekiveger brings here the Havid at the end. Well, Karcha, the Gamza Inyan Kibbutz Nizr Divrehim. Then he says, V'efshim Chal Mori. He starts with his pshat, he ends with the Magdash pshat. And then he says, I'll meet the Chal Kibbutz. Like, any time you, like, take them seriously, that's the Chal Kibbutz. So you could think of a third pshat, which is also, you know, Rabbi Kiva Eger, as another possibility, right? As a second pshat. Here's his first pshat. And his third pshat is like the Makneh, says it's kibud because anything that shows respect is kibud. Oh, what about the Gemara Machtilo Mashkehu? You have to say, maybe that's Latafke, anything that shows respect, and listening to them shows respect. Okay. There are three possibilities, all of which are really in this Rabbi Akiva Eger.
Can we just say a pashuk chiluk that, I mean, that there's different emotions that are elicited by the makna? It's more of anger that's elicited. So anger is a lack of mora. As opposed to Rabbi Akiva Eger, he's talking about tsar. There's a difference between when a parent is angry at a child versus when a parent is just let down by a child.
No, but the makna would say it's so stvar even if the parent's not angry. Because you're contradicting them. You're not allowed to contradict them even if they're not angry. Lachor, you're not even contradict them even if they're asleep. You know, even if they're, you know, comatose. You're still not allowed to contradict them.
But so on the other hand, couldn't Rabbi Akiva Eger be more that if you do something to elicit anger, to make them, that's Megamon Mora?
Could be, if you're machis them. Yeah, at least on purpose or something. Yeah.
But I was suggesting before was not really Rabbi Akiva Eger, more like making a chiluk, that even if there's no cue in Kibbutz Rabbi Akiva for bringing the Nachas Ruach, maybe bring the Tsar is like being over the Kibbutz Rabbi
Akiva. Ah, okay. All right, fair enough. Now, let's just, so here we have, based on the Rishonim and Ar Sugya, a fundamental machlokas, whether listening to your parents per se is a mitzvah or not. Could be not, because it's not within Kibbutz or Mora as defined in the Kiddushin, or could be yes. Either because the Makna says Mora because Sosur is Devarav, or because it's Kiba because you're giving them psychological happiness, or maybe just anything respectful is Bechal Kibud. Obviously, the Ramban and the Rashba and the Ritva would say this is not Sosur Zvar. Sosur Zvar means to contradict directly, right? To ignore is not Sosur. To ignore the Dvar is not Sosur Zvar. You're not being Sosur, you're just ignoring them. And they would say it's not Kibud. Kibud is physical benefit, it's not, it's objective physical benefit. Either they'd say not psychological benefit, or they would say kibud is things that are natural things that people need for their existence. Not if someone has a shtus and decides they need something, or else they're making themselves feel bad. Kibud is you have to give them what they need. Doesn't mean that that you have to keep them from making themselves feel bad. And they would say, in general, some vague notion of respect, that's not other than kibud of aim, unless specifically legislated. Now, halacha l'maisa, how do we paskin? Very, very, very unclear. How to paskin. Ada yom hazeh, no one's really sure. Different people paskin different ways. Some people paskin like Rabban, Rashba, and Ritva. That, it's always nice to be a nice guy and get along with Darchei Noam, but you don't really ever have to listen to your parents if it's not something that supplies their needs. Some people possibly like Rashi, that you should always listen to your parents, unless it's a case like the Ma'arik, where they're asking for something usser or something which is impossible. The Chazon Ish sort of hints that maybe there's room for some sort of pshara. He says that really he likes Rabbi Akiva Eger's svara. He says if your parents really care about something, then you have to like provide them with nachas and not tsar. He says, but there's a concept the Gemara seems to imply, or he reads, that you only have to supply your parents with normal needs, not with hadafa, not with luxuries. You don't have to supply your parents with hadafa. At least that's how he understands the Gemara. So he says, normal requests that the parents are reasonable that most people would make, that's b'chlal kibud av ha'ein. But unreasonable requests that are more than a normal person would usually want, that's hadafa, and you don't have to go out of your way to supply unreasonable requests. So the Chazon Ish seems to make me mechalek that maybe taket is kibud to listen to your parents and not make them feel bad. But that's only if they're asking for something reasonable, not if they're asking for something unreasonable. The same as if they said, can you get me, let's say they're not rich people, whatever. Can you get me, diamonds and fancy cars and etc. You wouldn't have to do that for kibud av ha'ein. So if they tell to interfere in your life, that's also not kibud av ha'ein.
So is your parents telling the shana aleph kid to come home shana bet? Is that reasonable? Is that
I think for sure that's reasonable, because that is even like Tzorcha Guf. If they want you to be in the same country as them, they want you to be able to help out, they want you to be able to take care of them, to visit them, etc. So I think that's for sure keeping up the aim. If your parents tell you, we want you to not go away on a trip and to stay with us. So I think that could be b'chol kibud av ha'ein. The question is this like the other two reasons of the Maharik? Are they asking you to pay a price that's a high price that can't be made up later? And are they asking you to do something against the Torah? So, Lamaisa, one could easily make the case that even if the last answer of the Maharik doesn't apply, they say, we want you because we're lonely and we want you to be able to visit us and we want you to be able to help out, etc. Well, which may not be the case. But even if they say, no, it's really authentic kibud, because, we want you to help us out. Still, you have the first two reasons. Maybe they're asking you to pay an unreasonable price, and maybe they are asking you to do something against the Torah, because it's a mitzvah to learn Torah. Talmud Torah, Dovu, kibud av ha'ein. That is the end of this week's parsha, the last Rashi, I think, in this week's parsha, right? So, halacha l'maisa, really Talmud Torah is Dovu, kibud av ha'ein. However, like I mentioned before, in all real-life cases, it's important to always before you, all the halachas of what to do whenever you have sechsukim between people are all b'di'evit. L'chachil, you shouldn't have to open up any masechas about halachas of how people should get along. You should just work it out and get along. However, just like you shouldn't need to know about kefil and dal v'hei and mises bezdin. However, in the real world, sometimes you need these halachas, but obviously the real answer is that they should, sort of talk it out and think about it and, come to some reasonable mutual understanding before you start passing the halacha.
My experience has been that, especially when teenagers, plus, what is considered normal and what is considered not normal requests is a big, big machlokas, and
depends on the parents and the teenagers.
And the perspectives sometimes are so diverse that it would be very hard to say what is considered
Hanakanami. I'm not, at a certain point, again, I think in real life cases, one always has to use common sense. Okay. So much, I think, is what we have to say for kibud av ha'ein. Now, moving on to another interesting point in this sugya. Yes.
For the Rambam, how do they argue against the Sefer Machne? They say Mora is only when you
directly... When you actively contradict his words. Over here, you're just passively ignoring his words, and that's not considered Soser. Soser has to be active. Now, the Tosos asks one question. The last thing we'll deal with on this part of the sugya is Tosos asks the Rassel, Nigmar Mehacha, Delo, Dachi, not the first question, but the second question, Bim Tomer, the second wide line in the middle. Right, what is the Gemara asking? If you say you shouldn't listen to your parents to be Machamer, that means that Kibbutz Aim is not Docha a lav of Machamer, so why don't we learn that Kibbutz Aim is never Docha lav? So this is the obvious question. Why are you calling Mechamer a lav? The Gemara called Mechamer a lav. Tosfos says Mechamer is not a lav. Mechamer is a lav and an asay. As it says, Vayom Shvit Heshbos Loman Yonuach Shorcha V'chamorecha. Right? The asay of Shvisa B'Shabbos. Right? The Rambam counts as an asay. It's pretty clear there's an asay of Shvisa B'Shabbos, even though the Gemara never says anywhere there's an asay of Shvisa B'Shabbos. But Rav Ashi says in a few places in Shas that Yontif is an asay in Losasa, a Losasa of Lo Tasek HaMalacha, and an asay of Shabbaton. So if Yontif is an asay because it says Lishbot, then Lachora Shabbos is also an asay because it says Lishbot. That's a pretty inescapable conclusion. So there's an asay on Shabbos. So it's an alav and an asay. So what do you mean learn from here asay is not docha alav? No. Learn from here asay is not docha alav and an asay, which is taka the halacha. That's Tosu Mishamachim to Lodachim. Alav great little nailif. Mikvayim betzitzis the dachim. That's Tosu's question. And there are three answers in the Rishonim to Tosfos' question. Right? Tosfos. Again, the question is basically, why do we call Mechamer an Asay? Lotase, if it's a Lav and an Asay. Right? So, Tosfos and the Rashi give the same answer. What is Tosfos' answer? Anyone? The Asi of Kibbut Aba'im is great because Hukash Kodim Lepona Makom. So therefore, right, this is the same principle that we see in the Gemara Mamatsia. When the Asi is Hukash Kodim Lepona Makom, that outweighs the Asi of Shabbos. So, and then we're left with Asi versus Olav. That's what Tosfos says. And like the ritual we saw earlier, you know, an Asi is Doch Olav Asi if the Asi is Olav. That's what Tosfos says. He says, The Omeri da say the kibud hova adav kulei hayde hukash shvurim l'kodam makom chashem asay the Shabbos commanded less elegamrei v'avik commanded like a lav greida. Okay, and then he has to do the same thing with asay the mikdash, and then later on maybe even with asay the vaskoin. That's what he says. He says that the asay, what's the word he uses for the asay? Adif. The asay adif of kibbut av erases the asay of shabbosom. So you're left with really only being docha lav because there's no asay anyway because you have two asays, the asay of kibbut av and the asay of shabbos, and obviously the asay of kibbut av is better because it's hukash l'fona makom. So that totally eliminates asay versus asay, and one is hukash l'fona makom eliminates the asay of shabbos. So all you're left with is an asay versus a lav. Fine. The Meiri gives a very technical answer. The Meiri say, what's the most technical way you can answer any question of like, oh, well, why didn't they point out that Shabbos and Asay and the Lav? They could have. Yeah, the Meiri says. Yeah, the Gemara could have asked this, but something else first, right? You always say, eh, what do you mean you said? Yeah, the Gemara could have said. The Gemara could have said. What do you mean? It's not Tov Olav. Shabbos Olav and Asay. But in the end, they had the Hechsher Mitzvah answer. So they never got around to saying this. But Taki, right, the Gemara did make a mistake here. And they could have corrected the mistake. But they were Doch this anyway, so they didn't bother. Okay, no tremendous Hidushim here. However, Beinu Yonah has the interesting shot. The Rashba quotes Rabbeinu Yonah. He doesn't quote him by name. He just says Mori. But the reason we know that it's the Rashba has more than one Rebbe. The reason we know that the Rebbe he's discussing is Rabbeinu Yonah is because the Ritva quotes by name that it's Rabbeinu Yonah talking. So I have the Ritva here. The Ritva says, first he goes to Sanach, Moshe Tirs, Rene Yonazal, Da Se the Tishbot, Lo Koyela, Avos Malacha, the Chamir, Dim the Karsha Katsir, the Chasuk Rabakra, Becharish of Akatsir Tishbos. A different pasuk. V'kamashlan, oh, okay, what is the ritual? He says that the assay of Tishbos is only for Malacha, not for Mechamer Acher Behemto. So here we have a fundamental Machlokas Rishonim. Tosos, the Rashi and the Meiri say, the assay of Shvisa B'Shavas covers Malachas and Mechamer Acher Behemto. But Rabbi Yoda says, no, it only covers Malacha, not Mechamer Acher Behemto. So, now that we have this very fascinating Machlokas, intriguing Machlokas, right, it always makes us curious to know, if we have Machlokas where the assay of Shvisa includes only Malacha, or also Mechamer Acher Behemto, what does that make us curious to know? What's the yesod of that machlokes, right? Why would you come to one conclusion or the other? So what's the yesod of the machlokes? Let us right, here is our machlokes. Tosos and Meiri say, yasei includes machamer. And Rabbeinu Yonah says that the assay does not include Mechamer. Now, on one level here, you know, you're not just dealing on the level of abstract Svara, because there's also a partial note issue here. Right? Tosos, at least, this is interesting. The Rash from the Ritva just says, Shabbos Naseh Mosaseh. He doesn't necessarily elaborate. The Rashba, not when he's going to Rabbi Yonah, when he's saying his own Deya, just says, one second, where is it? Yeah. The Shabbos say Nami Ikedichsev Tishbos. Right? But Tosfos emphasizes a little more. Tosfos says, it doesn't just say Tishvos, it says, what? L'man yanuch shorcha v'chamorecha. So on one level, you could say it's a machloket in Parshanot. How do you interpret uvayom hashvi'i Tishvos l'man yanuch shorcha v'chamorecha? Right? Clearly, there's something going on there, right? Right? This is always a very, very tricky word. What does leman mean? Usually, like, you know, we think leman means that, right, in order that. It's a cause and effect relationship. It's not so posh, right? Ki yadativ leman asher yitzaves benav yisusacharav. The big machlokes rishonim, right? Whether that means that Hashem saying, I knew Abraham, which is a big machlokes rishonim, what that means also. In order that, where it means I knew that. In general, when you have l'man, you're never sure whether ki yadativ l'man asher yitzaveh. Does that mean I know that he will be mitzaveh? Or I know him in order to cause an effect later that he may be mitzaveh? Sometimes it's obvious. L'man yivui mechem yivay v'neched means that if you do mezuzah and tefillin and Talmud Torah, which hopefully the point of all three of them is that it makes you do all the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah, then the cause and effect later will be your Yirui Mechem, Aloha Adama, etc. But it's not always so posh what the word Lema'an means. So, you know, I don't know, you know, what each of these people say in the Pasuk at the beginning of Hayera. It'd be interesting if we had everyone's Perish. But it could be they're arguing what Lema'an means. Tosos understands that. Lema'an. By Yom Shvi Tishvos, Lema'an Yanuach. Lema'an is part of the Tzivoy. Right? Tishvot, Lema'an Yanuach, Shorchav HaMarecha means you should be show-based in a way that your Shor and Chamor also is also show-based. While the Rabbi Yon understands that no, Lema'an is a later effect. You should be show-based. What effect of you being show-based is that your shor and chamor will end up resting? Because if you're show-based, then your shor and your chamor will rest. So it could be that they have machloket about the parshanot of Lema'an. Or it could be that there's another machloket they could have in Parfenov. The question is, what does l'man yanuach shorcha v'chamorecha mean? What does l'man yanuach shorcha v'chamorecha mean? So, what would you think l'man yanuach shorcha v'chamorecha? That the animal shouldn't work, right? So it could be that's what Tosfos assumes, right? That yanuach shorcha v'chamorecha equals not working. However, I've seen the suggestion, some of the Ma'an V'Yachronim, it's not so poshut. Anyone know what the Mechilta Darshan is on L'man Yanuach Shorcha V'Chamorecha? That the animal should or shouldn't do Malacha? What?
Shouldn't.
Nope, try again. The Tosfos rings down this Mechilta, I hope I remember where. What? Exactly. Tosfos brings down the Mechilta. Someplace near the end of Masechus Shabbos, but it doesn't matter. It's a real Mechilta. You can look it up if you want. Shmos Tav Gimel Yud Beis. Just find the Mechilta on there. Okay. Someplace. The Mechilta says, what does it mean, l'man yanuach? You might think you should lock it up in the house. L'man yanuach ase lein yacha. No, make it pleasant. Let it out and graze. Meaning that it's not telling you that your animal shouldn't do malacha. It's telling you that your animal should have oneg Shabbos. You should let it graze on Shabbos. So it could be that Tosfos would say, yanuach shorcha v'chamorecha is not referring to malacha. Yanuach shorcha v'chamorecha means you should let it graze, asalim yacha, and it means the davka, no, you should encourage your animal to do malacha on Shabbos. You should let it, you should let it have a good time and have oneg Shabbos. So it could be that either, if we stick with the pasuk, either the argument l'man, Tosfos says, no, l'man is part of tishbos. Rinnina says, no, l'man is something that comes later after your tishbos, but it's not part of the shvisa itself. It's an indirect effect of the shvisa. Everyone agrees it's nice for animals to rest. That's a pasuk. Question is that a tzivoy, or is that a side effect? So Tosfos says it's part of the tzivoy, and Rabbi Yonah says, no, that's the side effect. Or it could be, no, they even argue what l'man yanuach means. Tosfos says l'man yanuach means it shouldn't work. And Yonah says, no, there's a lav that it shouldn't work. What, by the way, is the lav of Mechamer? Where does it say a lav of Mechamer? What? Yeah, the Ten Commandments, right? Right? So there's a lav that it shouldn't work. That's what l'man yanuach means. Everybody else says l'man yanuach doesn't mean it shouldn't work. That's a lav that it shouldn't work. L'man yanuach means that you should let it out in the pasture. And therefore, it's not Maseya Machamar Achabahemto. It's not safe for something. It's something different entirely. So it could be, if you look at the pasuk, there's two ways to explain based on the pasuk what they're arguing about, either what l'man means or what yanuach means. But that's if you focus on this pasuk. However, Tosfos focused on this pasuk. The other Rishonim didn't really focus on this pasuk, and what you might want to say is, at least want to suggest, and even if they are focused on the pasuk, you might want to ask, so why do they interpret the pasuk differently? You can never tell when they argue in Parshanot. Are they arguing Parshanot because they're arguing Parshanot and there's a nafka mina for Lamdas? Or are they arguing Parshanot because they argue on Lamdas and find the Parshanot to support their Lamdas? So if you want to say they're arguing in a more Lamdas sense, their machlokas is about Lamdas, then how would you analyze this? Which again, it's not a steamer to say they're arguing about Parshanot and Lamdas, because it could be that that's the same machlokas. What would you think, if I were to ask you, forget the diukim and the psukim, forget the parshanot, what do you think if the Torah says lishvos b'shabbos? Right? Does that mean that you shouldn't do malachas, or that you shouldn't do malachas and you shouldn't be mechaber achar behemto? What do you think lishvos means? What might you say? I should rest, but it's not a mitzvah saseh for my animal to rest. Lishvos means I should rest, is what you might think, right? That would be reasonable, yeah?
How are you resting if you're being mechaber?
Ah! But Gutenberg said, hold on a second. What kind of rest is this if I'm mechaber achar behemto b'shabbos? That's resting? Resting is sitting home and eating kugel, not being a donkey driver. Aha. So already we have a wondish machlokas here between Aaron Anstreich and Daniel Gutenberg. What are you arguing about in Lundus? What's the nature of the Isser Mechamer Acher Behemto? Is Mechamer Acher Behemto a lav? There's a lav of Mechamer Acher Behemto. That's clear. There's a lav, lo satsa kamalacha, dot, 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 ben techa. Right? There's a lav, the Gemara says, lav de Mechamer. Okay, I put in parentheses if you want to look at strange shitas. The Ramban accuses the Rambam of believing there's no lav of Mechamer Acher Behemto. Everyone says no. Of course, the Rambam couldn't have said that because it's a before Shemar and Yivamos. Let's assume that no one could have contradicted this before Shemar and Yivamos. The Gemara says, right? What's the lashon of the Gemara? Lav de mechamer. There's a lav mechamer lo sasa kol malacha at you and your behema. But what is the nature of the lav of right? No chi of misa. That's clear. What is the nature of the lav of behema? Is the lav that you shouldn't have your animal work? It's like a concept, what does it say in Avodah Zarah and Daf Tesvot? It's a concept called Shvisas Behema. Right? You shouldn't let your animal work. So you shouldn't let your animal work, and for sure you shouldn't make your animal work. Right? You shouldn't even let a guy make your animal work. But for sure you shouldn't yourself make your animal work. That's Pashat. Right? So maybe Mechamer is just another Gilgal of Shvisas Behemto. Mechamer is part of the concept of Shvisas Behemto. You shouldn't make your animal work. Like, okay, maybe you don't have to go and hire armed guards to prevent it from working, but you certainly shouldn't go and make your animal work. It's a kind of shvisas behemto. Or Daniel says, no, that's a mechamer is not usher because your animal's working. Mechamer is usher because you're working using an animal. It's like maybe it's like a grummel or something, right? I'm not working, I'm just making him work, and he's an animal, right? I'm just making it work. Okay, that's obviously, it's not working to Chayiv Yumisa, it's not Chilul Shabbos, Chayiv Kores, and Skila, but it's working. I am getting the animal to do all kinds of labors, and I am a Chamer Achrav, right? I mean, I myself am making the animal do it. It's not running automatically while I sit home and eat kugel. So I'm working on Shabbos. I'm just working a little more indirectly. So therefore, it's only a lav, it's not a Kores. That is a very fundamental hakira about the nature of Mechamer. Maybe Tosfos understands that Mechamer is, the Isser of Mechamer is me working using a behema. Yeah, Tishvos. It's not Tishvos. Tishvos means I shouldn't work at all. I shouldn't work on my own, which is I shouldn't work using an animal, which is the lav. So of course Tishvos means not to be mechamer. It means not to work. That's what Daniel says. Or Aaron says, no. Rabbi Yonah would say that the Isser of Mechamer might say the Isser of Mechamer is making my animal work. That's the Isser Mechamer, making my animal work. And therefore, I understand I do a lav if I make my animal work, but it's not a pgam in Shabbos. And after all, what else does it say there? It says, avdecha v'amascha. Right? It's not a pgam in Shabbos if my eved works. If I sit home and eat kugel and my eved works, is that a pgam in Shabbos? No, it's a lav. But it's not a pgam in Shabbos. This is a fundamental chakira about Mechamer. Now that we have this fundamental chakira about Mechamer, maybe we can delve into this. Now someone tell me intuitively. Let me put it on the board. Fundamental chakira about the nature of the Isser of Mechamer. Is the Isser of the Mechamer basically a bittol shvisas behemto, right? I am making my animal be mechal Shabbos. Or is it no? It's meleches atzmo al yidei behema. Right? Says, let's take an example of the Ramban. You tell me how the Ramban holds. I have the Ramban's Zerux if you're on the sheet. He explains why there's no malchus. Anyone know the mainstream reason that we pass on why you don't get malchus for lav mechamer? Why don't you get malchus for the lav mechamer? Because the lav nitla chayshu is bezdin. It's the same lav as you doing work, which is bezdin. So that's that very technical term nitla chayshu is bezdin. The Ramban quotes. If you look at the last four lines, Shanit and Lasar Sim is Bethdin, Bemotzi, Paturuk Mokim and Amalkas, Afilam and Armor, Lokin Alok. What if you hold your get Malkas for 11 years? Lasar Sim is Bethdin, are you still Paturuk? The Inkin, the Tokolos, Asim Lachav and Techa, Ata Lomali. Why doesn't it shake? Don't do Malacha and your animal? Obviously, you never need to say Ata. Don't do it, you or your animal. Just say don't do it or your animal. Why do you mean Ata? The remez is. That if you do malacha, you're chay malchus. If you're animal, you're not chay malchus. Okay, that's a drasha. What does Ramban add to the Gemara? She'ein malacha behemto chashuv mishosu osal leschay v'le malchus. Work with your animal doesn't count as if you did it to be chay malchus. Avol nechsheves kumleches bincho bincho v'yaduch amascha. Mechamer is like if your son or daughter or eved or amma does malacha. She'mozer lei malach, it's a lav. She'ein alokes, she'ein malchus b'maisa achirem. The Ramban says, I know the Gemara didn't say it in these words. The Ramban says, what did the Gemara mean? Gemara meant, ain malchus maisa achirim. You can't get malchus from a chamer because it's what someone else did. Ain achnami, you violated the law of not taking care of what that other being would do. But you can't get malchus what someone else did. And he's very clear in the longest. He says, it's maisa achirim. Why didn't he say it's you driving? No. You driving is just why you shouldn't have allowed this maisa achirim. Right? But it's not your mice of driving the animal. It's the animal's mice of malacha, and you're responsible because you drove him. Right? It's like bincho bincha, bincho amascha. Clearly, the isser is not that I'm doing work and my son or my eved does it. No, it's that I shouldn't let them do work. So the Ramban, I think, is very clear on this side of the Hakira. Right? He says, because two formulations. A, he said, it's like bincho bincha, abdecho amascha. And two, now, that's not so pasha, right? The law of bincha bitcha abdu chamascha is even if you don't stand there and push them. Right? So you have to say bincha bitcha abdu chamascha, you have to worry about their Shabbos. But Behemoth doesn't have Shabbos, that's your Shabbos that you shouldn't work together with Behemoth B'shutfas. Man says, no, the Behemoths, the only difference is abdu chamascha and bincha bitcha have brains. So therefore, you should just tell them not to, you should command them not to work. Your Behemoth has a brain, but not a very good one. Therefore, if it does work on its own, you can't be expected to control it. At least don't make it do work. That's very clear. He says, like, bincha bitcha avdu maschah. And he says, you can't be loka al maisa achirim. It's maisa achirim. Maisa achirim. It's not your maisa of mechamer. Just mechamer means that you shouldn't have made him do a maisa of malacha. That's the Ramban very clear. We wanted to suggest that Afshar Nafkamina for is there or for the assay. We won't say Esher is Nafkamina for the assay of Tishbos. According to Ramban, perhaps you would say, right, that it's not Shayach, which is Rabbeinu Yonah. Because, unless you read that into L'man Yanuach, but actually you would say it's not Shayach because I'm still being Shoveis. So the essay of Tishbos doesn't cover this, but if you took the other side of the Chakira, then you would say that L'chora, it is Shayach, which is Tosfos, Rashba, and the Me'iri. Now, someone tell me, just common sense, what would you think would be a great nafkamina for this Chakira? Whether Mechamer is the issue of you having it do Malacha, or you doing Malacha using a fancy robot called an animal? What would you think would be the most obvious nafkamina?
Someone else using your
behemoth? Right, or just to flip it, what if you drive someone else? What if you're Mechamer, someone else's behemoth? What if you're Mechamer, you're a guy's behemoth, right? Right? No shlichus midaraisa, whatever. What if I'm Mechamer, a guy's behemoth? Or, yeah, you know, the... So, Taka, what's the din? And this is a tremendous machlokes rishonim and achronim. The Igle Tal, I put on the Mekor sheet, goes through in the Dayik and dozens of rishonim. The Menchas Chinuch goes through in Dayik rishonim. And Rabbi Ruchan Fischel Perlow and the Sefer Yisrael of Sadi going. And there's pages and pages of trying to figure this out. It's not so pashut in Shas what the din is. I mean, there's Diyukim galore. But it's not so pasha what the din is. But I just quoted a few Rishonim here. The most famous Rishonim are three Rishonim. The Rashba and the Ran in the beginning of Mishnah Hashech, in the last paragraph of Shabbos, and the Ran in Avodah Zarah Daf Tesvav, which I didn't put on the sheet, say explicitly, Mechamer, doesn't matter whose behemoth it is, Mechamer is always Usser. Right? So you might think, what about Behemas Acherim? So if the reason for the Isser is that you're doing work using an animal, so it's not as bad as doing it yourself, but it's still a lav, then Lechorot should be Usser even in Behemas Acherim. You should be an Isser Daraisa, even to use Behemas Acherim. That is the Rashba and the Ran. Again, the Rashba and the Ran and Shabbos are in the Makoros. There's also the Ran says the same thing on the same line as this Tosfos Rit. As a matter of fact, the Tosfos Rit is quoting someone who said the Pshat of the Ran and rejecting him. However, the Tosfos Rit says otherwise. The Tosfos Rit says, and the Menachas Chinuch also leans otherwise. He just didn't have a Tosfos. The Menachas Chinuch had a Tosfos Rit, he would have passed him that way. He just keeps wanting to pass it against the Rashba and the Ran, but he doesn't have a Tosfos Rit, so he's a little nervous about it. But what does the Tosfos Rit say? The Gemara says, you can't sell a guy an animal because you might, show him how well he can work, and then you'll be violating the law of Mechamer. So he says, why do they call it the law of Mechamer? Why not just say, Shvisas Behema? Right? Your animal has to rest. Why do they say the law of Mechamer? So he quotes someone who said that, no. Came in Hashtar Hashtar Agra Kanya, Sheila Kanya, because I'm not Yoni Kanya is Mahadaling the Olim, Shemachtel Kandam Mechamer. Okay, he says, why do they say Mechamer? Because at this point, the Gemara thinks that when you give it for a test drive to a guy, he's Kone. They think test drive is a temporary Kinyan. And therefore, it's the guy's animal. So they say Mechamer's Asr, because you're making the guy's animal work, and that's a law of Mechamer. But what does the Tosfos Rit himself says? Calls that here, it's no Klum. The Ikos are in the Yoni Kani. If you think the guy was Kone, lo hab Mechamer Chabahem to Abraham to Shal Goy, lo hab Mechayev. Right, this is what he means. Mechamer acher behem tov is usher. If you would think the guy owns the animal, mechamer acher behem goy is mutter. Okay, I don't know. Maybe it's like nisgar bana. Maybe it's an undin chol. I mean, it's definitely not shamistic. I wouldn't go and do it lamaisa. But there's no isur daraisa. There's no law to mechamer acher behem goy. The Gemara says mechamer acher behem tov. I know. Here, just love the mechamer. And Shabbos, the mechamer mem to. Your animal's us mechamer. Guy's animal is mutter b'na Torah l'chamer. What's the problem? What does the Torah say? Behem techa. Lo sezak kol macha, tov av d'cho eska, behem techa. So the Tosfos Rit is saying, again, I mean at least on a Baraisa level. Could be it. We'd still say there's Gzeret Rabban and it's Ovd d'chol or something. But I think, I would bet it's still Ovd d'chol. Like, you probably shouldn't do it. But says no, be medayim lo sase behem techa. It's also mechamer after your animal, but it's perfectly fine to rice and mechamer after a guy's animal. The Hagos Ashiri seems to say the same thing, right there in the side of the rush in the back of Avodah Zarah, and then the Echronim you have Diyukim and Shitas, etc. But what are they arguing about? On the one in Tosfos Rit says mechamer behem tov lo sase behem techa is aser. Why would it? It's only behem techa. What's the problem? Why would the Ran who? He's not quoting the Ran, but he's probably quoting someone in the same shot as the Ran. Why would anyone say that it's Usher and Behemoth's Goy? Does Pasuk says Bentecha? So the answer is Lachor, because this Lam, this, if you understand the problem is that you shouldn't make your animal lose its Shabbos, then Bentecha. But what if Lachor, the Rashi and the Ran, said, no, problem with the animal, problem is you. You shouldn't do Malacha using an animal. So Misvara Bentecha's Lavdachma. Usually you use your own animals. But Misvar, it's just as Mahmalach if I use McPherson's animal as if I use my own animal. So Lachor, this is the best nafkamina of that Chakira.
You can also just say if you're a shoal or a sofer, even if it's not yours, you have some sort of bilus over it.
No, they were discussing a case where you weren't even a shoal or a sofer. You had no bilus at all.
But just the fact that you're Mishamishim.
That's going a little far. I hear what you're saying, but I don't think it's going to work.
The Rit's talking about a goy's animal. He's not talking about another Jew's animal.
That's an interesting... Well, that happened to be the case. The question is, what if it would be another Jew's animal? Another Jew's animal, could it be that even the Rit and the Gos Hashir would be modest if it was another Jew's animal? Because they would say, look, all Jews are Arabians Elazar, or you're Shliach of the other guy. Could be. I'm not sure. But the simple shot, as he says, Loim chayiv ad mechamer echor behem tov. Simple pshat is he is not a goy is left out.
That's in the context of a goy, so you don't know.
Right, see, I can't promise you, but simple pshat is behem tov. Now, I'll just throw out some other possible nafkaminas. Another possible nafkamina. This is, anyone who's used to the world of minchas chinach and etc., right? Anytime you want to do any lomdus on any Isser of Shabbos that's not an avalacha, you get into two things. A, is the Erin Asay? And B, does the Isser apply on? On Yom Tov. And, of course, it's not enough to ask whether it applies on Yom Tov. You also have to deal with Yom Kippur. Well, for Lavin, that's not going to work. Okay, so let's think Yom Tov. How about Yom Tov? Is there an Isser Mechamer on Yom Tov or not? What does it for sure never say by Yom Tov? It never says Behem Tov. It never says Lo Sasa Malacha Behem Techa. It never says Manyanu Asrocha V'chama Recha. It never says the word Behema on Yom Tov. What does it say on Behema? On Yom Tov? Lo Sasa Kamalacha. And by Yom Rishon Shabbason. So all you know is that is an Isser Malacha. Does that include Shvi'is Behema or not? Now again, these all might be broader issues, like how much Yom Tov compared to Shabbos or not. Anytime you have like an afkamina of Chakir, it probably could also be an afkamina of something else. Like an afkamina, is Yom Tov Shabbos a kind of Shabbos or is it not a kind of Shabbos? Right? Is the Chiddush of Yom Tov the Ochel Nefesh is Mutter, or is the Chiddush of Yom Tov the non-Ochel Nefesh is Usser? But, quite possibly you might say, how would you say this might be an afkamina? That if you said that the problem was that you were doing malacha through a guy, so what would you think about Yom Tov? Exactly. Should still be Usser. But if you said the problem is that your animal has a Shabbos also, then what would you think on Yom Tov? It never said your animal is Yom Tov. Just says your animal is Shabbos. Shabbos. Okay, Shabbos every 7 days, part of the world, Bria Sa'olam, that applies to your animal. Yom Tov? Who says Yom Tov applies to your animal? So you might very well say Mutter. Okay, the Ramban himself, what would we hope the Ramban would say? The Ramban is the one who says, Malach Sacherim, you're not doing anything. You might think you should say it's Mutter on Yom Tov. Because what do you mean? Yom Tov says you shouldn't work. Never said anything about your animals. That's what the Ramban says here, the first part. Quote, V'yom Tov v'shvi'es lo ba'alach hazeh. Yom Tov v'shvi'es, there's no Yisr. Ha'chorish behema chayiv, malkas kosh shaninu, yesh kosh tel mefta v'chayil lom sheshmur lavim. Ha'chorish b'shor rachmor v'shvi'es v'yom Tov. Right? The lo ba'alach hazeh. Yom Tov v'shvi'es, there is no lav machamer. Of course, if you hold the plow, that's different. You holding the plow is malach gemurah. But Machamer, Acher Behemto, there is no lav of Yom Tov. This is the Ramban. I think it works out very well in Shitasei. However, in the Poskim, this is a big machlokes. Everyone quotes a Kolbo. No one quotes the Ramban, because it's like hiding the Sefer Mitzvos. Everyone quotes a Kolbo who says, Yesh Omrim, it is us, there is a lav of Yom Tov. Yesh Omrim, there isn't. That's like the main mucker in the Poskim. And the Beis Yosef and the Magen Avraham and the Yom Shel Shlomo and the Brichadosh, a lot of poskim assume it does apply on Yom Tov. The Brichadosh himself actually has an interesting line. The Beis Yosef, he's not sure, but the Magen Avraham, the Brichadosh says, of course it applies on Yom Tov, it's part of Malacha. Right? The Brichadosh even says, that it's Malacha. Everyone knows you're not allowed to do Malacha on Yom Tov. So I think that might also be an afkamina. Those, I think, are the main nafkaminas. The Rav here discusses this chakira. He doesn't bring out all these makoros. But he brings another interesting nafkamina, which is, I'm not sure if it's quite as mukhrach, but he wants to say another interesting nafkamina, that he makes a diuk in Rashi. Rashi says, Chitei mashani lavi shabbos dechambiri in the first skinny line, the kind of one called shabbos ovid avodah zarah. Shalhafi afil lav great a little dachi. Shabbos is more chomer, well, actually, like an Ovid Avodah Zarah. Everyone knows, Machal Shabbos is like a Mormel Chol Torah Kol, is like an Ovid Avodah Zarah. So the Rebbe back, what is Rashi saying? Afilu Lav Greida. Even if you just do Machamer, you're like an Ovid Avodah Zarah. Nafkamina is, what if someone, all they do is Machamer? Then they're Mormel Chol Torah Kol. Then you can't drink their wine. That's what he's Medayik in Rashi. And that's what it's Mukhar. You might say Rashi just meant, Shabbos in general is like Ovid Avodah Zarah, so therefore even the Lav is also chomer. But the Rav reads Rashi, no, Shabbos is like Avodah Zarah, even if you just do the Lav Mechamer. So the Rav wanted to say, that is a Mechamer, is a Mechamer, a Mummer, L'chola Tarkula, like an Ovid Avodah Zarah. So, he was Medayik in Rashi, that a Mechamer, is possible to call it Tarkula. He is like an Obed Ibn Zara. And he says, that makes sense. If Machamer is a kind of Malacha, then you're Machal Shabbos. That's the question. Is a Machamer a Machal Shabbos? Right? Is a Machamer a Machal Shabbos? But the Rav wanted to say that if you said it was just because of Shvisas Behemto, then he would not be a Machal Shabbos. He would just be a Machamer, but not a Machal Shabbos. That's the Rav's Nafkamina. I thought if you want to be creative, the Achronim have a suffix about, anyone know what kind of animal can't be Machamer on Shabbos? What does the Gemara always say? That any time it says Shorcha, etc., Shor, Shor, Mishabbos, we learn even all kinds of Behemachayev Oof. The Achronim have a suffix, what about Dugim? Machamer Achar Dugim on Shabbos. Is that also a Sigaraisa? The Gemara talks about it all the time. I don't know if they actually ever did it, because not everything they talk about in the Gemara they actually did in the old days. But why can't you, like, you know, have your, like, dolphins pull a, you know, a carriage, and like they do in Central Park, the horses. So you'll give people a ride in a dolphin pull carriage. I mean, if they went too low, it could be a problem. But whatever, you work it out somehow. So what about Machamer Achar Dugim? So again, this is one of these, like, you know, you never really know how to analyze the suffering of the Achronim about Machamer Achar Dugim on Shabbos. But I thought you could say Misvara if it's because you're doing Malacha through the Behema. So Maishna Behema Chayva, you never tell Behema Chayva Oof. Why did it say Behema Chayva Oof? What about Dugim? So it could be Lav Davka, just who does anything with Dugim, you know, other than like eat them. But it could be that if it's you doing Malacha through the animal, Lachor, Dugim should be just as bad as any other kind of animal. What do you mean? You're making the animal do Malacha. Whatever. What's the difference between a dolphin? Dolphin's a mammal and a horse is a mammal. What's the difference between a dolphin and a horse? But if you said it's because, no, you're commanded that your animals also keep Shabbos, then it might make sense. No, only animals of the Yishuv are Shaykh to Shabbos, which are Bein Lechai Va'ov. But Dugim, which are Mufka from Yishuv Bnei Adam, maybe you're not Shaykh to Shabbos. So that was really, this is more, by the way, of speculation. The Alma, you know, will even, you know, put it in orange. But what about Mechamer Bid Dugim? But it is interesting, the Achronim, I'm trying to remember where I saw the Achronim of a suffix. They don't have any rayas either way. As to whether the Isser Mechamer applied to Dugim. And the reason for the suffix is because the Mishnah says it applies to all Behema Chayav Oof. The question is that Davka, or is that not Davka? So I thought you could say that maybe if it's you doing Malacha, then it should be Isser Mechamer Dugim also. You're doing the same Malacha. But if it's because of Shvisas Behemto, then you can say no. Behema Chayva Oof are Shayach to the Yishuv and Shayach to Shabbos. Dugim are not Shayach to the Yishuv. Maybe you're not Shayach to Shabbos. But okay, that's, you know. If you want to analyze the lumdus of the suffix about Machamer and Dugim, I think this is the correct analysis. You know, whether, you know, you want to delve into that suffix, I guess why not? It's called Yagel Tor V'Yadir. There is a suffix, it's not really Machlokas, because no one has any opinions. There's a suffix in the Achronim about Machamer Dugim. What the basis of their Machlokas? Could be that they're arguing about this. It's not unreasonable to say that it might tie into this Chakira. Yes, Morty.
The same Chakira, can't you make a Nisir of, Iver? Is it a Nisir of
a million trillion percent?
If somebody does something, you're doing the bluff also?
You certainly could make that Chakira about Lifnei Iver. If you want, right now, right now, without any preparation, I can give you an hour shiur about that if you want.
Okay.
But I think that somehow not everyone has the same level of saplanot. But yeah, for sure. I mean, that is, you know, whether lifnei iver is you're causing an aveira is the problem or no. The problem is how not nice are you that you're causing this guy to have such bad onesh, you know, come upon him. Nafmina, classic nafminas are, for example, the Ran and Tosa deal with this, is lifnei iver of avodah zarah hard vel yavar or not? If you're worshiping avodah zarah, it's hard vel yavar. If you're just making a bad thing happen to your friend, it's not your hard vel yavar to trip up your friend. Or the classic question of, if you make someone do an Isser Drabanan, is that lifnei iver midoraisa or not? If the problem is your Isser, the chord's only lifnei iver drabanan. The problem is that you tripped him up. You still tripped him up. It should be lifnei iver. It should be lifnei iver midoraisa. What are other nafkaminas in that Chakira? The other nafkaminas might also be sort of the famous Rosh Hashanah issue, which is, you know, can you, if someone comes and, you know, they come to your kiosk and they ask to buy a soda and they're not going to say shahako. Should you not sell it? Should you sell it to them or not? So Big Machlokes Aposkim, Minigolim, like your soul is on that you should. What does he say? He says, because even though you're making them do the Isser of eating without a bracha, but, you know, it would be worse for them if they thought that from Jews wouldn't sell them soda when they were thirsty, and then they would rebel against the whole Torah and hate Torah. So again, I think that's maybe part of the same issue. The problem is that you're participating in Aveira, you're not going to do an Aveira just because it will be better off in the long run. But if the problem is that you're not doing anything wrong, you're just putting that guy in a bad place, then here you'd have to have a more long-range view. And there are many other issues that tie into this as well, but that's not our hook here now. Okay, I think we'll stop now, and we'll pick up Amir Tzashem on, what's today? Thursday? On Monday, with the top of Davava and Beis, just a brief discussion of the issue of Mora Mikdash. I did not get a chance yet to print up the new, or email out the new Makoros, but the first thing on the new Makoros is just the next sugya, which is to go till the middle of Zayin Amud Aleph, where it says, Maluchu Maravatam Elu Lo Savaru. It's obvious that's the end of that part of the sugya. So we go through the next Amud of Gemara with the Gemara Rashi and Tosfos, and then Mir Chetan will try to right away send out the further Makoros.